Chapter 20. Legio Oberon Walks. Princeps Caleb Dunkel sat back in the command throne in an attempt to find the best position for the coming battle. The angular chair granted great honour, but little comfort. Steel input cables dragged at his head. The manual throttles were a little too far from his hands, the torso pedals a little too close to the seat. These controls were backups, crude mechanical devices intended for use should the mind-impulse interface be broken, but they were necessary and should be firmly grasped at all times. Keeping his limbs in place was uncomfortable. Soon he would link with God's wrath, and the sensations of his human body would shrink into insignificance. Until then, he focused on what was going on around him to keep cramp at bay. Behind him, his moderati primus and steersman guided the weapons crew through their final calibrations. Query and response check counts went back and forth from the cockpit head to the gunnery command chamber. The half-sung phrases of the moderati were punctuated by the gentle click of buttons and the notification chimes of good function.
By the grace of the Omnissiah, power feeds to Chain Fist at full capacity. Let the motive force flow, said the Primus. And to the glory of the machine, do the missile tubes work smoothly? Send shell and explosion to rend the foe, replied the weapons moderati by hardline vox. Let the mid-range fusion of your melter cannon slag the unrighteous with blistering heat, said the Primus. So it shall be, replied Arryn, the third of his weapons moderati.
Dunkel let their preparations lull him further into his altered state. The great metal body of his Reaver throbbed momentarily with increased reactor output as machinery was powered up, tested, and powered down. Occasional reports from the Engenarium buzzed into the cockpit, but nothing could disturb the soothing cant of his crew. He shut his eyes, letting the senses of the Titan take the place of human sight and hearing. The discomfort of the manifold hardlines plugged into the back of his skull melted away. Hard seats and awkward physical controls no longer troubled him. All human sensation was as nothing when his mind spread to fill the metal giant. The sense of his own body dwindled, becoming little more than a remembered irritation. Dunkel was becoming God's wrath. His giant feet were planted wide upon the hard standing of the marshalling yards. He felt the electric thrill of gyroscopes keeping him balanced, the minute adjustments the Reaver's hip pistons made to its posture. All systems operated perfectly. There were none of the catches in movement or stiffness in the machine's joints he had experienced last time. The overhaul given God's wrath on the way to Tucson had been total. The results were remarkable. The Titan's machine personality was equally pleased at its rejuvenation, and its bloody soul eager for the fight. Dunkel was apart from it yet. He saw his own mind as a series of layers, each function of his intellect isolated by the manifold, so it might be more easily integrated with the greater being of God's wrath. The engine's primitive soul moved beneath the electric ways of the interface, a leviathan mount that waited for Dunkel to grasp its reins. The echoes of its former princeps psyches were ghostly priests in attendance to this metal demigod. The princeps sank deeper into the mind of the machine, blending his consciousness with mechanical and electronic systems. His awareness brushed on each of the Titan's hundreds of devices before they faded away from his somatic control, and their operation became as automatic and unnoticed as the beating of his human heart. The spirit of each mechanism leapt a little at his touch before they quietened, but the machine's interface smoothed out these interactions, and God's wrath remained as unmoving as an idol. From its electrical heaven, God's wrath reached for Dunkel and his six moderati. Before Dunkel merged with his machine, the crew's minds bled together at the edges, networking through the glorious technologies of the manifold. Six became one. A sacred number, two times the trinity of the machine god. Dunkel exulted in his deepest being, for his was a holy and honourable calling. God's wrath's soul was a crimson ocean of violent need waiting for them. Dunkel plunged into it gladly. A tremor shook the machine's warframe.
Manifold interface finalized. All praise the machine god,
Dunkel whispered to himself. But he was no longer Dunkel. He was God's wrath. As his mortal body spoke, the words also emerged as a short, rising burst from the Reaver's warhorn. Somewhere, deep within the mass of plasteel, a scrap of flesh smiled and was forgotten. Like a sleeper rising, God's wrath came to life. The Nuosphere drew itself over the conjoined beings of the Princeps, Moderati, and Titan, completing the fusion of man and machine. If he concentrated on his human being, Dunkel was still aware of himself and the individuality of his Moderati, but it was a sensation at one removed, akin to looking at a cold, numbed limb, knowing it was part of himself, but being unable to feel it. God's wrath was fully awake. With the whine of enormous gears and servos, it moved, swinging its coleopteran head from the left to the right. Machine vision painted a world in miniature with Dunkel's vision centers. His human eyes had opened at some point, and a phantom image of the cockpit and the view through the Titan's yard-thick oculi imposed itself over what God's wrath saw. It was easy to ignore. Titans of the Legios Oberon, Ataris and Fortis, stood in a chessboard formation, each in front of their coffin ships. Behind them washed the waters of Parmenio's ribbon-thin river sea. The island city of Tyros stood, battered sentry over the narrow channel, separating it from the Hecatone shore. The mainland docking grounds had been cleared, bulldozed down to rockcrete, and dozens of coffin ships stood like starscrapers in a temporary city. The rails for the Titans' maintenance gantries had been laid, allowing the cranes and ammo lifts that tended to the metal giants to roll forth from the coffin ships into the open air, where they might more easily perform their duties. Gilliman's plan of attack had been kind to the Legios. There was no perilous drop into combat, no desperate fight free from their conveyances. The Collegia Titanica would march in good order. The ultimate line of Gilliman's new defense network ringed the Titans about. Three demi-legios amounted to 102 of the towering war machines, of all classes, and so required a wide bailey of their own. The Titan grounds were the Adeptus Mechanicus's headquarters on Parmenio, and the full might of the machine god was on display. There were 36 of Legio Oberon's white and sable engines present alone, a great gathering. Many were heroes upon the field, engines that had fought for dozens of centuries, princeps and crew whose reputations were won in the desperate fighting following the opening of the Great Rift. Scores of knights of the Questor Mechanicus and Questor Imperialis lined a road wide enough to allow the passage of the great engines out of the fort, their banners stirring in the breeze. Around the Titan's feet waited tens of thousands of Skitarii in robes of several forge worlds, red, ochre, white, black, and grey. Next to them, 3,000 war robots of the Legio Cybernetica waited in neat ranks. Beyond the line of the freshly cast curtain wall were other fortifications, other centres of martial power, the regimental headquarters of the Astra Militarum, and the drop castella of the Ultramarines and the White Scars. There were flags of other worlds, forces representing might drawn from across the sector, but the majority were of Ultramar and its affiliated forge worlds. This war was an affair of the Ultramarines and the Adeptus Mechanicus. Hundreds of thousands of warriors, wherever they were from, they were waiting, waiting for the Emperor's steel gods to walk. The Primarch made a speech. Dunkel heard it and didn't hear it. The words he understood, he forgot the moment they were said. He was enthralled to the sluggish belligerence of God's wrath, and God's wrath cared nothing for talk. Orders were given, passed on from the Primarch's high command through to the various heads of the divisions on Parmenio. Dunkel's commands came from Princeps Senioris Erskine, the Maniple commander, aboard the warlord Titan Retribution. The words were simple, more felt than heard. "Death bolts," he said, using the Legion's low Gothic name. "Walk!" The warhounds were off first, warhorns howling, beetled backs swaying side to side with their excitement at the hunt. When the last of the scout titans loped beyond the perimeter, the remainder set out. God's wrath chafed while his brothers, God's sworn, God's doom, and mercy of fire, stomped out. His rising frustration threatened to drown Prince Epstunkel, and he had to assert his will strenuously to tame the machine's heart. Finally, his turn came. Dunkel responded to the need of his engine to walk rather than Erskine's spoken command. With ponderous majesty, the Reaver's splay-toed foot took its first step on the road to battle. Unable and unwilling to blunt the engine's excitement, Dunkel shouted a wordless war cry in time with Godsroth's hooting wail. Godsroth's iron brothers joined their voices to the choir of slaughter, venting machine-made wrath and their earnest intent to wipe the traitors from the surface of Parmenio. Legs swung, ponderous as wrecking balls, mighty as towers. The shattered lands of Hecatone swept by Godsroth's feet in a blur of mustard yellows and drab greens. Shell holes from the Death Guard's initial attack made the land a moonscape. In the sucking wilderness stood shattered trees and stepped triangles of bricks, broken free from their service as the corners of buildings. Fertile lands had become slurried bogs, a marshland born of bombardment breeding sickness of all types. Shreds of mist steamed from metal-skinned mires. No road remained whole, no building without damage. Death's silence crushed all life away. Parmenio's creatures had perished or fled, and the plague god's demonic offspring had yet to replace them. Gilliman's army came, the squelching of 100,000 feet, and the frustrated roar of tank engines fighting through mud, filling Hecatone with life again. Tanks by the hundred beat a path for the infantry. They carried walkways of wire and wood in rolled bales, unspooling them from spindles welded to their rear facings. The wood had been taken from elsewhere upon the planet, manufactured from trees felled in those untainted lands where the Death Guard had yet to tread, leaving wastes of stumps where forests had grown. The taint of Nurgle spread far by diverse means. Oftentimes, the cure was as bad as the disease. The Legios walked at quarter speed at the fore of the hordes of men and machines. They were the warlords of the armies of ants scurrying at their feet. For all their size and heft, the Titans moved quietly, each step far spaced, their reactor hum and gear noise modest components of the advance. Only when each step terminated and met the ground with heavy impact tread, shaking ripples in water smeared with rainbows of pollution, did the Titans' might make itself known. Each footfall was the compression of thunder into the earth, pounding out the slow drum roll of Armageddon. They pushed on into the wasted lands, and Dunkel's view, Godsroth's view, became a sea of curling fog. The further they advanced, the denser it became, rallying itself after its earlier breaking. As surely as an army regroups after a minor defeat, Mortarion's poisonous airs thickened. Godsroth ploughed through it. With no comparator for scale, the machine seemed a man wading a vaporous sea. The hunching warhounds carved impermanent paths ahead like the backs of large fish cutting the water. The greater titans, the various marks of warlord and others, were larger men, perhaps fishermen pushing into the shallows to cast their nets, their vast carapaces like coracles balanced upon their backs. Space marine attack craft roaring overhead were seabirds. The horde of men beneath the roof of mists were an army of stealthy crabs. Augur readings poured into Dunkel's mind as readily as the sights of his own eyes. Radar pulses sketched out contours in fleeting washes of light. Dark light and heat sight gave their own different views, all mingled with Dunkel's native vision and the sharp, high-resolution machine sight of Godsroth. For one unaccustomed to the blending of sensory input, the experience would have been nauseating. To Dunkel, it was as if he was ordinarily blind, and only when he sat in the command throne of his engine were his eyes suddenly, gloriously opened. Vox chatter and data squirt intruded into the serenity of walking. He made himself pay attention, lest he forget his duty was war, and not solely to exult in the piloting of his engine. Huge numbers of voices competed for attention. Godsroth's cogitators helped order them according to importance. His own superiors in the Legio were given priority, those of high command next. The rest, all the generals, colonels, and clade leaders, hung about at the edge of his awareness, waiting for him to think of them and bring their chatter into mental focus.
"Deathbolt's maniple Quintus, Come to a halt, commanded Princeps Senioris Erskine.
His order was an echo of one delivered a second before from Legio Command, direct from the Primarch's liaison.
Battle formation. Three-line defense in depth. Execute.
God's Wrath obeyed before Dunkel could. A mighty foot planted itself firmly in the ground, pushing up a rim of mud around its square toes. The back leg adjusted. God's Wrath sank into a firing stance, braced against the recoil of its gargantuan weapons. Mercy of Fire came to a halt 500 meters away to the left. God's Doom and God's Sworn off to the right, making part of a line that curved off in the direction of the shores of the River Sea, 50 kilometers away, where its narrow gulf was widened briefly by a series of bites. The titans of other maniples were looming shapes cut off at the waist by the fogs. Beyond them, the other legios were smears of shadow in mustard vapour. The entire legio arrayed itself similarly to Erskine's maniple. Princes, escorted by their royal guards, the warlords took up their positions 300 meters back from the gaps between the smaller reavers, forming a deep regicide board pattern. Order chatter decreased, became more localized as each part of the Imperial war machine looked to its own business. Tension grew. The entity that was Dunkel and brutal machine soul combined swept its gaze across a sea of mist. There was no sign of the enemy, but they were close. God's Wrath felt it. Always before combat, the meshing of men with machine was at its most heightened. At those times, the Princeps came close to forgetting their individuality. Dunkel fought to save himself from dissipating into God's Wrath's soul. It happened sometimes. Princeps immersed so far in their engines being they were lost, and disconnecting them broke their minds. In the hard places of his eternal being, all that was separate from God's Wrath, he knew this, but it was hard to resist. He wanted to go deeper, to taste power at its source, join with the spirits of those who had come before, and become one with the machine. One day, perhaps, he would be placed into an amniotic tank and enjoy the pleasure of the annihilated self. But not yet. The warhounds moved further off. They strutted through the fog silently, eager hunters capable of ambush and surprise despite their enormous size. More orders pulsed out, spreading down informational pathways with the flicker jump of electronic projection. Dunkel supposed, if he could see it, it would resemble the Tree of Life, described by the sacred flow of the motive force. 15 knights of House Connor loped past to support their larger cousins. They were slower than the warhounds, and their shorter legs put them at risk in the difficult terrain. They wove complex courses to stay upon the firmest ground. One misstep would see them mired. They made not one. Along down the line, the warhound packs of the other legios were advancing, supported by their own allied knightly houses. In the shadow of the walking engines, the men and lesser machines of the army drew themselves up into battle lines, refusing to let the heaved-up earth of Hecatone break the strict tenets of the Tactica Imperialis. No man would want that in view of the Primarch, whose own writings had done so much to inform the sacred text. Tanks drew up in a shallow delta formation, infantry sheltered in their lee. At the centre of the army, behind the line of Titans, a large cohort of Ultramarian super-heavy tanks deployed in a formation dictated directly by the Primarch. By sheer weight and engine power, they forced their way through the mire, massive dozer blades levelling ground that would not submit. Such a number in that configuration had been seen only rarely since the days of the Heresy, so it was said. Moving steadily, but at a safe distance behind them, came Rabute Gilliman's command crawler. The Imperial army waited as the skirmish line of giant machines scouted ahead. Erskine sent out a number of alternative deployment patterns across the datanet, codified by single words chosen specifically for that engagement. Dunkel knew them all by heart. The fog was rising up in a wall as tall as the god machines to the west. The mountains slipped back into invisibility. Soupy murk obscured the plains. The sunlight at his back reflected off the mist brightly. Detonations flashed in the fog. The bright glare of plasma discharge silhouetted one of Legio Oberon's warhounds and a supporting pair of knights a mile out in the murk. A squall of vox communications burst out from the advance.
Engine contact! Engine contact!
A volley of three giant rockets whooshed overhead, narrowly missing the Titan Ultimate Fortitude. One was interdicted and brought down by the fire of the army's rearward air defences. The others plunged down through the ceiling of the mist, blasting up towering cones of debris where they impacted. Mud, men and machines intermixed. The explosion rocked God's wrath.
No atomics, no chemical, no plasma. Standard warhead configuration, voxed Erskine.
Harsh garbles of higher-level vox traffic overlaid his voice.
Stand easy.
Data squirts pulsed between the Titans, carrying the rapid binary talk of machines. Pictofeed flashed through Dunkel's head. Shadowy shapes snatched by the scout Titans. Enemy engines shrouded in mist. The flashing of high-energy weapons was joined by the delicate tremble of shell detonation some way ahead.
Prepare for immediate engagement. 17 engine contacts and rising. Attack pattern, escutcheon, said Erskine.
He was calm and measured, no sign of the machine soul he shared at that moment impinging upon his words.
Prepare to receive retreating scouts. Cover and protect.
A dozen of the Legio's scout engines loped back behind the stacked line of Titans, coming about in a wide arc to shelter at the heels of the warlords. From there, they could strike out again to outflank the enemy when the heavier engines were engaged. Fires gutted along molten scores on their backs. The knights remained embattled. Their combat chatter distracted Dunkel, and he shunted their terse exchange to the back of his awareness. An orange flare smeared the thickening fog, then another. Night reactor death. The small one-man engines were in trouble. God's wrath shifted under him.
Steady, steady,
said Dunkel, as if he was soothing a flesh and blood mount. At the same time, he exerted control via the mind impulse link over the machine's processing centres, damping down its atavistic need to kill. More warhounds came back in ones and twos between the spread line of the Legio Oberon. One of Erskine's maniple, World Pain, was missing. Dunkel spared a moment for the strategic cartolith displaying the state of the rest of the line. The same was happening up and down the front. The racket of war grew closer. The enemy harassed the retreating skirmish line, but were too battle-wise to come into optimum engagement range. Only a few shots blazed through the air towards the engine line.
Adept Sign, keep shields to maximum replenish rate in case those strays catch us.
Dunkel spoke into the hardline vox. Using his mouth felt strange. God's wrath's urge to hoot along with his speech was a bubbling need in his heart.
Take us into combat at maximum Aegis. As you command, Princeps,
Sign vox back from his station in the reactor room. The hum of the engine deepened. As the fight became closer and more intense, the knights broke off and followed the warhounds. They moved past Dunkel at a run, their stooped backs hiding their heads from his view. The lesser machines came only up to God's wrath's chest. Dunkel read 30% losses for their support household. The knights always paid to keep the larger engines safe. Fast and small compared to their larger cousins, their role was to divert fire away from the Titans, relying on their speed to stay safe. But agility saved nothing from a direct hit of a god weapon.
Where are the enemy's support?
Voxed Princeps Gugglehem of Mercy of Fire.
Contacts made, voxed Erskine. 47 enemy engines, Majoris, circa 200 engines, Minoris, in support.
The flash of weapons cut out as the last of the House Cornwall knights straggled back behind Oberon's lines. The steady tread of advancing war machines took the place of the armament roar.
They're coming! Visual contact! Voxed Gugglehem. Prepare for engagement. All weapons charge. Hold formation. Break on my command, responded Erskine.
Dunkel saw them then, looming out of the mist. They were the same in many respects as Oberon's engines, but the character of their souls altered their appearance, making them crook-backed and ominous, where the Imperial Titans seemed stooped with the weight of duty. A crowd of them advanced in right-hand echelon, a pair of warlords on the leading edge, bristling with close combat fittings. Linebreakers. The badges of a Legio were unique, and every Titan's markings were as individual to it as a man's fingerprints. Not even the traitors were cowardly enough to hide their sins. They proclaimed their allegiance and identity proudly.
"The Legio Mortis," said Fantorp, princeps of Godsworn. "Death's heads." "Pride. They still have that. When all other virtues of honour have deserted them, they remain proud," said Moskov of God's Doom.
"Confirm! Confirm!" voxed Erskine. "Legio Mortis Traitoris, transmitting enemy idents now."
Names and numerical designations for the Titans entered the noospheric datanet. Dunkel's mind filled with a litany of atrocity stretching back through history in the starkness of lingua technis. Where the Death Bolt's defensive grid was grouped maniple by maniple, the Death's Heads attacked in a demi-legio strength formation, all its heaviest machines at the leading edge. There was no cover for either force, and the weight of the enemy was coming right at Dunkel's position.
"They're seeking a way through. Do not let them break the line," said Erskine.
The enemy line let out wails of challenge from their warhorns. Oberon responded, as did Fortis and Ataris. Mortis opened fire. The loyalists returned the favour. Instantly, the space between the two lines was a kill zone, inimical to life. Titan weapons were awesome in their destructive capabilities, outmatching all but the greatest voidship armaments. The air ignited around energy spikes. Supersonic shockwaves of hauler-sized shells ripped up sprays of water from the ground. Linear thunder cracked off las discharge, shaking cones of mist into rainbursts. Fog was boiled into multicolour plasmas. In support of the two melee warlords was a monster fitted for long-range fighting designated Poison Master. Bearing a plasma annihilator on the right arm, a volcano cannon on the left, and its carapace mounting two huge laser blasters, its role was to smash a hole through the defences for Legio Mortis's close combat specialists to barge through. All its weapons spoke together, slamming hard into God's Doom. Its voids took the impact, shutting off with deafening bangs as they were overwhelmed. The Reaver was moving aside, trailing smoke, when Poison Master opened fire again, scoring bright lines across God's Doom's composite plating. It rocked on its feet, its motivators locked in the left leg, and it limped on.
"Forward!" ordered Erskine. "Take the fight to them!"
Other Princeps Signores followed suit. The Legio Oberon's game board line broke up, each maniple locking onto a section of the enemy echelon. Strategically, their bunched formation allowed them to concentrate their weapons on individual targets. The opposing echelon of the foe gave all their titans clear lanes of fire. To break this advantage and maximize their own, Legio Oberon moved forward in staggered, unpredictable lines of advance, the maniples obscuring one another, thus preventing any one Titan bearing the brunt of too much fire for too long. Three missiles streaked out of God's Wrath's carapace-mounted array, the engine's only long-ranged weapon. 20 rounds were all he had. Dunkel wanted every one to count. His position as Princeps of God's Wrath had been hard in the earning. He wished to live up to the honour. The missiles slammed into Poison Master's shields. Fires washed over crackling purple energy fields, spoiling its aim. God's Doom limped out of its sightline, fire dripping down its left leg. More missiles raced away from God's Wrath. Blazing pillars of laslight slammed into the void shields in reply, the flare they brought dazzling Dunkel.
"Void shield one at 20%! We cannot take too many more hits of that intensity," warned Sign. "Push the reactor. More power to locomotors. Ready the melter cannon," ordered Dunkel.
He itched to get close enough to use the weapon. Mercy of Fire opened up with its Gatling laser, belting burning lines at the enemy. Poison Master's void shields thrummed and snapped in the mist, sectioning it with a skin of light where illuminated water droplets swirled in mesmerizing patterns. The warlord retaliated with a full blast from all its guns. A firestorm erupted from both weapons' arms, engulfing Mercy of Fire in a boiling shawl of flames. The Reaver's initial void shield gave out, the secondary collapsing moments later, then the third and the fourth. A laser blaster shot slammed directly into Mercy of Fire's chest armour. Erskine's retribution was advancing past the damaged Titan, bringing its weapons to bear on Poison Master. But power spikes were showing across Dunkel's senses as the Poison Master prepared to fire and finish off its target. Two of the three Reavers were out of the fight for the moment, one perhaps permanently. The next Maniple moved up closer, drawing fire from Poison Master's combat partner and blocking out the fire lane from the enemy echelon. They suffered for it, their void shields blazing with dangerous light. A blast from Poison Master slammed into Mercy of Fire, smashing its shoulder armor free and mangling the joint. The arm locked in position, gun drooping uselessly towards the ground. God's Wrath wailed a polyphony of anger at the wounding of its comrade. It lurched forward suddenly, taking Dunkel and Poison Master by surprise, intercepting the next hits intended for Mercy of Fire. Sparks rained over Dunkel's helm. A servitor jerked in its alcove, smoke pouring from its input ports. The engine's discordant challenge was met by an inhuman screaming from the Warlord.
"Keep back! Dunkel, keep your engine back!"
ordered Erskine. Dunkel's engine was spoiling a clear shot from the Princeps Senioris's Titan, but God's Wrath would not be restrained. Its ersatz animal soul slipped momentarily free from Dunkel's command. It leaned forwards, accelerating into a lumbering run. The Titan's belligerence was well known in the Legio, its name deliberately chosen to match, as was its armament. Dunkel was supposed to be the match of its wrath. He was failing.
"Tame it!" Erskine yelled.
"Activate perceptual dampers," commanded Dunkel. He wrestled with the unresponsive manual controls.
"Logic engines are locked out, Princeps," responded Sine. "It will not be dissuaded. This is the will of the machine god."
"Then we go in hard. Open fire. Left arm. Now."
Dunkel wrenched himself free of the machine's mental embrace, summoning enough individuality to target the enemy and order his moderati to engage the melter cannon. God's Wrath was running. Its systems were bent on the intimate murder of hand-to-hand combat. The aim was poor. Dunkel selected a point at the center of Poison Master's mass and prayed to the machine god that it was a hit. Moderati Oberston struggled to bring the arm up. God's Wrath was fighting against Dunkel, attempting to bring up its close combat weapon to strike, but Dunkel kept it down to stop it from obscuring the shot, and Oberston managed to engage and release the melter cannon fusion beam before God's Wrath slammed hard into its foe. Hitting an enemy engine directly with a melter cannon was the best outcome, for the power of it could vaporize plasteel. God's Wrath could cripple a larger Titan, even kill it, with a single shot. Active void shields scattered the weapon's high-gain microwaves into the warp, so the next best solution was to take down the shields with the cannon and leave the foe open to blade work. The charging of the cannon was sloppily executed. The weapon fired before the fusion focus was properly sighted, and yet somehow God's Wrath vented its fiery breath on target. The beam focal point fell just inside the void shield. Optimum sighting on a shielded engine would have been exactly on the field boundary, but the hit was close enough, allowing a near full fusion reaction to take place outside before wave scattering disrupted the hit. Beams of high lethality microwaves intersected upon the target point. Now the melter cannon was in full discharge, God's Wrath's vast array of weapons cogitators keeping the focus constant as the engine moved in to attack. Water in the air reacted first, heated to explosive temperatures by the cannon, then the air itself turned into an expanding ball of hot plasma. The explosion burst across Poison Master's void field. Lightning raced all over the energy envelope, earthing itself along crooked lines of energized ions generated by the blast. The explosion, the discharge, and the random conduction patterns generated by the agitated atoms of the atmosphere combined to bring Poison Master's void shields crashing down one after the other. God's Wrath smashed through, dispersing Aegis and into the body of Poison Master. The Warlord had several meters of height on the Reaver and was massier, but such was God's Wrath's impetus that the impact knocked Poison Master sideways. Dunkel relented from his attempts to restrain the machine's soul, gasping at the pain the effort caused him. He shared the machine's eager joy as he gave the Reaver its freedom. It roared a haunting wail. Without his or his moderati's input, the chain fist was rising, the flexible chain of teeth blurring into action. The chain was wider than a tank's tracks, each tooth as big as a man. It scythed down, taking Poison Master's left weapon arm at the elbow, while it was still staggering. Molten chips of metal blasted all over Godsroth's cockpit. Dunkel's vision shook with the skip and bite of the teeth, the sawing through the metal vibrating the entire machine. The enemy Titan was covered in some kind of organic matter that wept corrosive slime. Patches of rust marred its plates. Its sallow, skull-faced helm cockpit seemed alive in some unnatural way.
"Harder!"
Dunkel roared. He was by now entirely enthralled to the Reaver's battle fervor.
"Harder!"
His mind worked with Moderati Kren and the Titan's machine-made soul, guiding the huge lopsided weapon through the warlord's arm. The Reaver leaned in, putting its entire weight onto its left arm, carving its way through its larger cousin's limb. A void shield re-engaged, enveloping them both. Poison Master wailed in pain and outrage, calling to its brothers to aid it. Dunkel had lost sight of the Linebreaker warlords. Their melee weaponry would make short work of God's wrath, but it was too late now to worry about them. He had to finish the enemy, or he would die. Poison Master's ranged weapons were useless at such close quarters. It discharged them anyway, sending off fountains of plasma. Its missile racks emptied. The munitions roared off almost vertically, disappearing into the sky. Dunkel grinned. The enemy Titan was in machine shock, the mind rebelling against its pilots. Vulnerable. A flight of naval marauders roared overhead. Missiles hammered into the warlord, bringing its void shields down again. A handful detonated on the carapace. Its knees sagged with the blow. Point defense las cannons needled God's wrath's side as the Reaver continued its butchery. Poison Master's weapons arm fell, sheets of oil and unwholesome fluid spraying down the smaller Titan's front. The warlord was suddenly freed by the loss of its limb and staggered backwards, carapace weapons swiveling to get a lock.
"Dunkel, rein the machine spirit in. Get clear of my shot," Erskine ordered. "All power to locomotors!"
Dunkel's order was half a scream. He seized the mind of his engine again. It fought him every step of the way, wanting nothing but to rend and slash at the rival who had hurt its comrade. Dunkel heaved at the motive levers, using them in conjunction with the manifold to force God's wrath forward past the warlord. The enemy machine paced back and swung around, plasma coils on its remaining primary weapon arm lighting up ring by ring as it charged to fire. Pintle las cannons and point defense guns mounted all over it continued to lash out at the Reaver, tracking it as it ran on by, but they could not hurt God's wrath through its void shields. The plasma cannon could. Poison Master locked on to God's wrath, targeting the vulnerable rear where the armor was thin. A full power shot would punch through the shields, armor, and into the reactor. Dunkel pushed his machine around in a long arc, trying to outpace the turn of Poison Master. Metal gods performed a ponderous, clumsy waltz.
"We are going to be hit," he said. "Brace for impact."
A sudden surge from God's wrath saw Poison Master's shot go wide and glance off the Reaver's void shields with a harsh thrum. Cabling flashed and caught fire near to Dunkel, burned out by feedback from the overwhelmed shield. But they were still standing. Battered by the hit, God's wrath became pliant again. Dunkel brought about the machine to weather a second strike upon his forward arc. Poison Master was dying. Dozens of lesser engines crept up in retribution shadow, joining their fire to the warlord's. Three knights joined forces to scythe off Poison Master's leg at the knee with combined shots from their melter cannons. Retribution punched through its armor with volleyed shots of its own twin volcano cannon. Alarms sounded in Dunkel's cockpit.
"Reactor critical!" yelled Sign. "Get clear!"
Poison Master's reactor burst free of its casing in a hemisphere of blinding plasma. Somehow, the power source had remained pure when the engine itself had been corrupted, and its cleansing light burned away all trace of its fall from grace. After all this time, the soul of the engine escaped to be received to the mercy of the machine god. A knight fell down, bonelessly, systems knocked out by the electromagnetic pulse. It was luckier than its fellow, which was consumed by atomic fire as it turned to run. Dunkel had a moment to take stock. He had broken through the enemy line. His was the sole Titan on the far side of it. Mortis's echelon held and was bowing back. Oberon's initial disposition had been teased apart. Though the Loyalists were wreaking a great deal of damage, their engine line had been disrupted. Mortis were retreating engine by engine, the halves of each pair taking it in turns to cover their brother machines, peeling back and drawing the engines in. One of the linebreakers burned, still upright, a mile and a half to God's Wrath's left. They had been a ruse, expensive sacrifices, to pull the loyal legios into the echelon's full storm of fire. The second linebreaker was rampaging through the army, under fire from thousands of tanks. Ataris had been funneled towards the left-hand side of the echelon. Fortis had been less easy to trick, and was advancing to attempt to outflank far to Dunkel's right. Sprung trap revealed, orders came from High Command, demanding the engines halt. Reluctantly, God's Wrath walked backwards, joining the line of machines opposing Mortis, and commenced firing again until its rockets ran out. It was then restricted to engaging targets that came close enough for its oversized fusion cannon. The Legios remained like that for some time, trading blows with their wicked brothers throughout the night and into the dawn. Gilliman's command Leviathan ground inexorably across the sodden plain. The weight of the giant machine pushed it deep into the mud, not so much moving across the landscape as sailing it. Upon a chart desk, the Primarch surveyed the disposition of his brother's forces. Sheltered by the engines of Legio Mortis was a huge and malevolent fly, fat and as dominating of the landscape as a geoglyph. A centre made of three interlocking masses of elite troops, each supporting the other, formed a geometric, angular abdomen. The flanks swept back as stylized wings. Skirmishers ranged ahead in long formations, making up the legs and mandibles to the fore and flanks, the rearguard mirroring them. In total, there were 21 blocks of troops, the pointed ends of each formation fitted together in such a way that they gathered close by the body. The angles of these corners formed a pattern that Gilliman suspected had some meaningless, arcane significance to his deluded brother. In the Strategium, the lights were dim. Reactive armor glass glazed the slit oculus looking out over Hecatone's ruined land. Mist blanketed everything and was still growing thicker. Moisture leached sound from the air and spread the light in a painful, flat glare. To dim this light and the constant strobing of Titan weapons in its swirling depths, the oculus had turned itself to a smoky brown. The interior was consequently gloomy. Pale hollow shine lit attentive faces scrutinizing Tacticaria, Space Marine, Primaris Marine, and unmodified human.
"Why are you waiting, my lord?" Maldivar Colquan growled.
Gilliman refrained from rebuking him for his tone. Colquan had been one of his most vocal critics on Terra, which was why Gilliman had ordered him to join his Indomitus crusade. "Keep your enemies close," King Connor had always said, a tenet Gilliman had not always adhered to his eternal regret.
"Something," said Gilliman, "something less expected."
He gestured at the line of Legio Mortis's god machines, now curled back so far that the right flank almost touched the advancing fly formation.
"He entices me into a trap. It is a stratagem so obvious it can only be part of a greater play. Mortarion is a fine general, even when he is seeking to prove how indomitable he is. He is there, right in the middle of his army. It is a taunt. He wishes to draw me out."
"He has not been sighted," said Colquan.
He paced, rarely still, angry, as he always was.
"He is there."
Gilliman waved his gauntleted hand over the hololith.
"In this nonsensical formation we have renegades, traitor space marines, enemy titans, mutants, aberrant abhumans, sellsword knights, heavy artillery, tracked armor, and all the rest. The usual parade of Mortarion's diseased, deluded followers. What we do not see is demons, said Colquhoun. He leant his heavy golden gauntlets on the chart. The image broke up around his fists. Where are the Neverborn? It is that which troubles me, said Gilliman. Where indeed? Until we know, I cannot act. Mortarion may be holding them back, waiting for me to commit. Where they are, he will be. What is Galatan's status? The Primarch called over to a Vox monitor.
A pale-faced man in a smart uniform turned from his bank of blinking machines. The fleet reports the station draws nigh, but remains under assault by Death Guard assets. Our own vessels have moved to engage.
Distance?
500,000 kilometers and closing, my Lord Commander.
Status?
We have lost contact, Lord Commander. Our signals are being jammed, but the station continues to fire on the enemy.
Then it has not fallen, said Gilliman. It might yet, said Colquhoun. It might, agreed Gilliman, his attention on the flare and crash of simulated weapons fire emanating from the hololith.
Then allow me to take my warriors there, my lord, and force the issue in our favour, said Colquhoun.
He stopped all of a sudden, tensed, hoping for release.
No, said Gilliman. Galatan is well garrisoned. We must trust to its defenders. We cannot afford to become distracted from the struggle on the ground.
Colquhoun ground his fist into the table in annoyance.
Then what is your command?
We pound the enemy. Hold the line, said Gilliman. And we wait.